Welcome to No More Booze, the podcast. I'm Olivia Farrelly, and in every episode, I explore the role that alcohol has in our lives. I interview people who have decided to live their life with no more booze. We'll explore their relationship with alcohol, how it made their life better, how it made their life worse, any lessons they've learned along the way, and what advice they would give to others who are contemplating a life without alcohol. So whether you are sober curious, you're sober serious, or you're already living your life alcohol-free, this podcast will provide inspiration and motivation as you begin to untangle and reassess your relationship with the booze.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to No More Booze, the podcast, the Christmas special. So this is the second installment in our gorgeous Christmas specials, and my beautiful, fabulous friend, myself and Siobhan O'Connor here, met during the summer, and we're actually BFFs, aren't we, Siobhan?
We have the same sobriversary, and now you're a further along in the journey of sobriety, but we're both the 4th of July, so we're sisters, aren't we? We're sober sisters.
Sober sisters is right, and it's we just spent the last 20 minutes chatting there, and we were like, oh, come on, we may do this. So tonight we're going to cover the 10 sober commandments of Christmas and what they involve, and we're just going to again give some advice about if you're thinking of refraining from the booze this Christmas and what that entails. So take it away, Siobhan.
Well, the first one sounds a bit doomy gloomy, but it's okay. Full of the joys really underneath. And the first one I want to go through on the 10 sober commandments. Number one, it's okay not to be okay. Hibernation is self-preservation. So for the first Christmas that I went sober, I was in a state of absolute panic, and that's okay. It's okay not to be okay, because the whole glitz and glam of it is sort of pushing you into that edge where you're actually getting on the train of the dopamine before you get the dopamine knocking the glass of wine into you. So you can reframe that and go, I'm going to hibernate to self-preservate. And that's the first commandment, because for me on year one, I felt like I need to go to absolutely everything. Everything's okay. Nothing to see here. But that's fine if you want to, on the night, go to something that's on. But if you really feel inside, no, this is going to make me feel crap, I don't feel right in myself, just do the hibernation piece. And just, that is the first really important commandment. Because check in with yourself. How do I feel right now? Do I want to go into a crowd of people? Is that going to unnerve me? Will that destabilize me? How will I feel in that crowd? If you feel ready for it, we're going to talk about dress tip number two, which is, Olivia, dress to impress.
Absolutely.
You know about this. I mean, look at you now, you absolute babe on the camera. No one can see her now in her gorgeous, rideish hair. But I mean, when you were drinking, what did you think about before you went out?
Oh, like, it was definitely a ritual. So like for me, going out was, oh my God, like going out was my actual life, right? And it was the ritual of what music I would play, what I would, you know, spend it. Like, it takes me an hour kind of beginning to end to get ready, but like, it was part of the ritual. And I suppose the better I looked, and I know it's so awful, but the better I looked, the better I felt. And actually, just when you said that and you talked about the glitz and the glam, another great tip is, you know, when you're on your phone, right, and you're looking at all the glamazons and they're off at all the fanciness, and then you can find your head going, oh my God, but I'll never get to experience that again. The best part of doing that is like, shine a light of self-awareness on it and just see it for what it is. Everyone will share all the gorgeous things about, you know, the fancy cocktails and I look fab and everything, but no one shares the next morning, do you know?
No, and nobody shares, which was me on lots of Christmases in my drinking career, the end of the night.
No.
Nobody takes the picture of the tripping or the little cuts or the little bruise the next morning when you're like, oh no, what did I do? What did I say? Yeah. And that dress to impress piece gets you really in the mood. Now, I used to, because I was so really dying to get a drink into me, I'd get dressed really fast, quick eye makeup on, get out fast, right? Now I take my time. I might even go and splash out on getting my nails done. Or I might like wear the killer heels because I know I'm not going to trip over them after the party ends, right? So, or invariably I'm leaving before the party ends. But just put that work into yourself so you feel your utmost best heading into the room. You feel like a rock star because you are one when you walk into that room and you own it when you dress to impress. So that's commandment number two, Olivia.
Fab.
And number three is Rule 62. And this comes, I'm not a prescriber to the AA methodology. I'm not an AA. I've never, oh, I did go to one AA meeting one year, actually, when I was traumatized by a night out. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to go to AA. And I went to one of their online groups. And look, it's brilliant for what it does. But I love kind of getting little tidbits from AA. And by the way, it's not that you need to have a problem with alcohol to step away from alcohol. But they have a great tip. Rule 62. Don't take life too seriously. Because Christmas has been hijacked by booze. So why have we given it the power? Why have we given alcohol the power over what is supposed to be fundamentally the crack inherently within us and not take it too seriously? Like, wear the mad jumper. You know, go out and ice skate and fall on your bum with the kids. And you're not worried about, like, you know, you're in that moment of the ice skating. You're not actually forwarding, you're moving into the future, thinking of that 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know? So be silly, be mad, you know, go wild and be a big kid. So rule 62, don't take it too seriously.
Fab.
Commandment number four, the president's wife. Now, I got this tip off a great friend of mine, and she's fab. I won't say her name, but I'll tell her to tune in because this is yours, babes. This is your tip, the president's wife. So one thing about going alcohol free is, you know, you might want to leave the event. You might want to leave within, I do about 1.5 hours. And then I try and like, I realize actually it's kind of circular reasoning because I go back and forth, but I always end up staying about 2 hours, even though I ultimately always say myself to myself, I'm only staying in an hour and a half. But if you only have 2 hours, you want to work the room and you want to make sure everyone saw that you were there. Because you want to showcase how amazing it is to be alcohol free. Now, I'm not saying being fake, but just go around and say a little quick hello to people and kind of like the president's wife, make your presence felt. And then you feel amazing that you've shown up and then you can leave on a high.
It's a great idea. And literally your exit plan or whatever. You know, when you're in the gym, right, and it's the last, or you're in a class and it's the last round, and you literally give it welly because you know you're going home afterwards. It's exactly that. So literally give it welly.
Absolutely true. It so is. And you know, I guess as well, I used to think that I was a complete extrovert. But actually, and I had this great conversation with a good friend of yours as well, Siobhan Murray, who is a burnout solution coach, and actually she's got about 25 doctorates under her name. She's so intelligent. But anyway, she is actually realizes she's an introvert, trapped in an extrovert's kind of, you know,
Sad.
persona. And I feel like I'm a little bit like that as well. Like, I love one-on-one chats, but like sometimes I'm getting a bit frazzled in big crowds now. So if that's you, get your little plan, your little president's wife plan going in your head. So you kind of have a plan going in. Like, we know from the research, actually, we know that if you plan before you go in and you visualize what's happening, and we know this through coaching and visualization practices, that if you can visualize yourself before you go in doing the thing you're going to do, you're going to succeed in the thing that you're going to do. So you're not going to be freaked and you're going to mitigate anxiety and you're going to bring yourself into your own body and you're going to be fine. So that's the president's wife.
Love
And
it.
then you mentioned this, Olivia, number five, the exit strategy. Now, how many excuses have you come up with, Miss Olivia, to get out of something?
Oh, look it. I at this stage I just be all fuck off and go home. I can't be dealing with you. Leave me alone. I have a herbal tea and me Kindle and an electric blanket. Do you know what I mean? No, I get very, and I'm brutally honest. I'd be like, you're doing me head in. Good luck.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah, like, and to be honest with you, the sort of walking away piece, nobody's gonna know, right? Nobody's going to know, but the nice Irish goodbye, and just have your little plan in your mind, because it could be one head wrecker who's going to be at you. Where are you going? Why could you stay? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Actually, invariably, it's been family over the years at Christmases, because they're very honest and direct, you know? So it could be at a family affair. So always have your little exit plan with them. Have something ready in your back, in the back of your little arsenal, in the back of your mind that you're going to use to get out of Dodge. And now we're on to number six. Oh yeah, set boundaries. I mean, I'm pretty crap at this, but I'm really getting good at it lately. I love it. Just say
And
no, babes.
do you know what's a gas? Because I'm actually appalling at setting boundaries, but I really admire and love people who do, and I really respect them. Like, I love when people say no to me. I'm like, yeah, that's your boundary. Absolutely. Do you know? So yeah, boundaries is like, it's key, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think as well, when somebody's really hammered and you're saying no to them, it's even sweeter, because
Yeah.
they just they're not in a good position of power. Anyone who has drink on them isn't as good as at the argument. So
No.
you're always winning, guys. You're always winning, and you're sober, fabulous. So your sober commandments, and you're just saying no for that one. And then number seven, oh my God, this was literally my favorite thing about Christmas being sober, setting new traditions for the family.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God, the cutie friends, they just love you at Christmas even more, and they love being with family. Like last year, we were very, very lucky. We got to go to Lapland. But look, that's not
Amazing.
every year. That was a bit mad, because I just took the redundancy from my job. So we were off to Lapland. But anyway, we actually ended up in a ditch. Oh, Jesus. At the side of a road, never drive in Lapland. But yeah, it was a long story. We were in a bit of a gale, and we ended up going down the side of a mountain
Oh,
in the old
shit.
car. It was minus
Oh, God.
20. But if I had been hungover, I wouldn't have been able to get us out of Dodge. You know what I mean? So, but
Yeah.
all these experiences sober,
Yeah.
you're creating new, real primal memories for your kids and for yourself. You mightn't have kids, which in which case that's cool as well. But for me, with kids, I have found the memories phenomenal. And I was coaching one lady of mine, one client of mine before, and we did a visualization piece. We visualized her going through. She was really nervous about going to the Christmas market, because we all know what's at a Christmas market. Glühwein, out the yin yang. Now, one was never going to do me. I don't know about you, Olivia, but one was never
No,
going to do me of Glühwein. So
no.
she was panicking, because she knew, what do you do at a Christmas market? You go around, you eat the wurst or whatever you do. If you're vegetarian, you eat something else. But then you always end up invariably, oh, you get your little mammy treat. Well, everyone gets the hot chocolate, you get the Glühwein. Go on, mammies, you deserve it. Let's flip that. So let's visualize us going through the market. Let's really focus on all the smells, all the scents. Then you're going to smell the Glühwein. Clock it, see it, feel it, think it, hear it. And then you're going to go and choose a different way. This time round, you're going to see your little cute kid's face smiling. Mammy, let's get a hot chocolate. Let's all get a hot chocolate. Let's not give a shite about the calories of the hot chocolate, because we would have been overdoing the calories on the vino anyway, and go for the hot chocolate with our kids and create that new core memory for us and them. Well, my girl I was coaching, she was in tears, and she did it. She, because we visualized and because we planned it, she went to that market and she did it, and she got the hot chocolate, and it really created a different trigger in her brain. Because we are all triggered. I've been triggered still by the old smell of Glühwein, for God's sake. So it's about planning before you go into the situation.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, a friend of mine, we have stole like I've stolen a lot of traditions from friends, but one gorgeous one was that once one night anyway over the Christmas holidays, they bring a duvet or sorry, a double mattress downstairs, and they sleep in the light of the Christmas tree.
Sorry, I am
Isn't
stealing that one.
that spectacular?
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I
Yeah.
love it. And
Yeah.
like, I suppose, the panto, right? We were at the one last year. We love going to Alan Hughes one. He's
Oh,
from
yeah.
RMDM. There was loads of people kind of having the drinks. And the first year of me seeing that, I was flipping raging.
Yeah.
First year sober, I was looking at them. I wanted to reef the glass out of them, out of their hands. You know what I mean? Year, what was it last year? Year three, with my kids at the panto. It was all about the kids. It was
Yeah.
all about the joy. It was, it's like you're reclaiming these joy moments that have been hijacked by alcohol companies, by big alcohol. So it's just about always you're going to get those weird feelings. They're going to come in. The triggers will be there. You clock them, you accept them, you say hello, but you're not taking over, mate. And you bring in your new tradition. It's just brilliant. Because we do everything in Ireland. Bloody hell, it's hard, Olivia, isn't it? Everything in Ireland is very alcohol heavy.
Very alcohol heavy. And then, do you know what I'm kind of noticing at the minute is that there's kind of a pushback, nearly like, you know, christening, like people who are giving up the booze as like sanctimonious and maybe, you know, very evangelical and all that kind of stuff. And but sure, we're not. We're literally just not drinking. That's it. Do you know?
I know. And like, it's the story we tell ourselves around the bit. So the story I would have told myself over the years, I'm the type of person who makes the Christmas cake. I'm the type of person who will drink the brandy while I'm making the Christmas cake. I'm the type of person who I deserve while I'm making the mince pies to have my glass of vino on a Friday night, you know? So it's the story we tell ourselves. So you've got to recreate our stories, and we're doing it. And we're living proof, Olivia, that it gets easier. But year one is hard, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The eighth commandment is, it's a bit, this sounds a bit naff. Your presence is the present.
Yeah.
For years, it would all be about what you could give them and what you could sort and what you could do and, you know, and be there for people and, you know, be there getting hammered with them. But your presence, just being there fully present, even if you're going for a drink with a gang of friends, they're all drinking alcohol. You being there is the present. You don't have to knock back the alcohol to be the person you want to be. I used to think I had to be something different. I had to put the alcohol in to be fully there. But your presence, you going there, showing up alcohol free, is the present for everybody. You know, I took me about 2 years to get that.
No, it did, absolutely. You know, What's number nine there?
Self-care on Christmas, like the swim. For me it's the you know, doing the hard thing, because the easy thing is to shovel it all into you, be it like copious amounts of alcohol or copious amounts of food. So the self-care piece has to be hard for me to bring that dopamine up. So the harder the thing that we do, the more dopamine we get. And at Christmas time, of all bloody times, we need to feel the dopamine high and fast. So do the hard thing. So that could be climbing the mountain or jumping into the sea. But that's going to elevate your dopamine. Seriously, going to keep you topped up. And you need to watch that over Christmas.
Yeah. And I was telling you just a few minutes ago, I did the mother of all workouts on Saturday. Literally, he didn't give us a second. And I came back to the house and I was high as a kite. And like Gary was like, are you on something? Like, what are you? What? And I was like, I just high on life. But it's, we can biohack. It's all about hacking ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. And the harder the thing. So baseline dopamine, we're all there, right? We do substances or alcohol and we mess up that whole process, and we kind of get nervy-irvy or we get overly anxious. So, you know, you might be overdoing that, and then you're wrecking your dopamine levels and you're wrecking your serotonin and you're wrecking your glutamate. But then if you do the hard thing, the jumping into the sea or the wrecking yourself in the gym, your baseline is here of your dopamine, but you're increasing it. Your natural high is getting higher and it's long and lasting for longer. Like, we know the research from the swimming, something like 560% extra dopamine hit from just jumping into the ice cold water.
Yeah. And then it tapers down over a couple of hours, as opposed to like alcohol plummeting after, I think, 15 minutes and cocaine plummeting after 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you'll be having a snowball, dough ball Christmas. Although I do love, do you know what I love? There's a restaurant that does actual snowballs, which are like pure big fatty little donuts with snow, like icing sugar all in them. I'll be milling into those, I tell you, this Christmas. And then the final one, Olivia, for our 10 sober commandments is roll the tape forward.
Yes,
I
think
just love
the
it.
drink through.
So like, just what do you want to feel like in the morning? Like, I just think nothing beats that morning feeling.
Nothing.
And that's yours on Stephen's Day. I used to be waking up absolutely hungover to shreds on Stephen's Day, because
Yeah.
we'd do the drinking in the morning piece with the whole family. Sure, this is we all have a little drink, a little tipple in the morning. Sure, I wasn't one, I was 25. So, just rolling the tape forward is so important. And you are never ever going to regret not drinking the night before.
No, absolutely not. They are amazing. And so this is your third Christmas without the booze.
This is my fourth Christmas
Oh,
without the
fourth.
booze.
Okay,
Hang
gorgeous.
on. Yeah, this is
Okay.
fourth one. Oh my
Okay.
God, I can't believe it. Like, life is just so much better now. The first year of doing it's hard.
It is
But
hard, yeah.
the way, let yourself have it hard. Like, if this is your first year, go you. And every time you do it gets easier and easier, and then we're doing the hard thing, and then our baseline dopamine is going up. It's still going to be hard, I'd say. Oh, come here, wait till I tell you a quick one. I forgot to mention, Olivia, it's so important. If you're going anywhere, bring your own bottle of something fab.
Oh, absolutely.
Genie Mac. Sometimes I've gone in and it's only been tap water.
I know.
And everyone else is milling into the drink and you feel like an absolute child.
Yeah. I love a kombucha, or like Donnybrook Fair do all those gorgeous little kind of like fancy lemonades, and aren't they in
Oh
like
yeah.
Super Values and stuff? Yeah. So like fancy bits.
Absolutely. And feel like a rock star, because you are one. You are the sober one. You're setting the trend. You're ahead of the curve. You're ahead of the posse. In about 20 years' time, they'll all be looking back at us drinking years ago and thinking, were they on drugs before they started putting the drug into them?
It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing what culturally becomes the norm, and then it's just not. And actually, I had this conversation with a load of people today, and one woman has a couple of boys who are like in their late teens or whatever, and it's just drinking is just not a thing.
But I think Ireland, we needed to cop on, and I think we
Yeah.
have,
Yeah.
because for a while I thought I was nobody without a glass in my hand,
Yeah.
and I that is sort of sad. But now I'm so joyful, happy and sober. It can be you. This can be you
Yeah,
too.
and come here. Do you notice as well that your level of confidence has gone up over the last 3, 4 years?
Oh my God, I just don't give a hoot what anyone thinks
I know, it's
anymore.
gorgeous,
I
isn't it? Yeah.
don't. Now, that could be, it could be not, it's not causation. It could be correlation with the fact that we are getting a little bit older.
Yeah.
But because I know myself so well now, if somebody doesn't like the person I am, then that's fine, because this is actually all I am. Because I was hiding so much in the black and white telly when I was drinking. I
Yeah.
wasn't in the Technicolor yet. But now I'm in pure Technicolor. Even if I have the crap days, they're just crap. And then they really get better faster.
Yeah.
That's the
Yeah.
thing about the
It's.
crap bits. Do you notice that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They. Oh no. Like I've. They will be gone within the day.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
And Christmas is. It's so exciting, isn't it, without
So
drink as
exciting.
well? You don't
Yeah.
have to drink. There's so
No.
many other things to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Siobhan, we will wrap it up there. But thank you. That was gorgeous and it was joyful and it was imbued with all the gorgeous things that is you. Siobhan, where can people find you if they want to avail of your services or have thoughts?
Avail of me. Yes, I'm going to be doing group coaching coming up for Dry January. So you can
Fabulous.
contact me on at Real Mammy on Insta, or I also have an Insta, which I've got a series of Sober October vids up there. Actually, they might help for the old Christmas. You know what I mean? Because in case anyone wants some refresh, I've done every single day in October. I gave it a reason why to keep on going and inspirational tips. So I did that series on Instagram on my account called Are We Nearly There Yet underscore.
Gorgeous. And I'll link the two of these in the show notes or whatever. But thank you and happy Christmas.
Oh, happy Christmas, Olivia. I'll see you at the
I'll see you at the party. I love you,
party.
Siobhan.
Love you too, hon.
No More Booze, the podcast, is produced, mixed, and mastered at the studios of Irish Audio Drama. For more information, visit irishaudiodrama.com.